Wonderful. So today we'll be working on self-love, lovability, lovability and self-love, the gate 10.
Yeah.
So the physical impact, liver and blood. Emotional symptoms, depression, fear of rejection, fear of authentic self-expression. If I'm who I really am, someone will love and accept me. We are clearing throats already.
Yep, we are.
And the 10 is about expressing
self-love.
So if I am who I really am, then no one will love and accept me. Whoa, do you feel that?
Yes, I definitely agree with that.
Spiritual symptoms, feeling unloved or an abandoned by God, angels, non-physical support team. Assessment statements are, I'm lovable, I'm loved for who I am, I give and express my love freely. I wish.
Yeah. In a perfect world, I guess.
I'm open to fully receiving love. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Linda, I'm wondering how you feel about giving and receiving love.
That's hard. That's another tough one, because it took me a long time to figure out what love was really about. And then once I kind of had a grasp on it, I still haven't got the whole picture, but I had a little more of a grasp on the reality than I had before. I realized that in order to give and receive anything authentically, I had to be open and vulnerable. And I'm going, well, that hasn't worked for me ever. So then I was kind of back to square one with that, because now how can I do this if I have to be open and vulnerable? And so that was another decade of working on stuff.
You're off the mic. It just worked for a little bit. So if you are, I missed the last few words. So if you're open and vulnerable.
Oh, if you're open and vulnerable, then you... Then you get hurt. I mean, not every day, but there's just no way around it. And for me, is that people know me. If I'm open and vulnerable, then people will really know me. And that's a really terrifying thing. There are two people on this planet who really know me. So that's, and I kind of like it that way.
So true, isn't it, about really people knowing you, how few people really, really you feel know you or get you.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the human design family is at least a little bit of
I've done lots of things, different types have done, astrology and a bunch of different healing modalities, and I feel like with each Enneagram and all of that, but I felt like with each one that I really got into, it felt like I was putting on another, I was moving up another step in knowing myself and understanding a little bit more about why I do what I do and why I don't do what I don't do. And now, I don't know that this is the end of it. I probably not, because I'm a seeker, and by golly, I'm going to seek out everything until I die. So, but with human design, that it filled in the spaces that were left by other modalities that I hadn't, I know this about myself, but then there's just this little hole here and I can't figure out what that is or why that is. and I can't find out why. You don't know what you don't know, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so with human design, I'm filling in more of those spaces, and it's just becoming, oh, now I know why I parented the way I parented. Now I know why I would really not like to not have to sleep with other people. I want my own room and my own bed, by golly. And if I have to sleep in the room with you, I want the bed on the exact opposite wall from you.
Yeah.
Now I know why that is. I was always told that I was terribly antisocial, and why wouldn't I want to sleep with my husband? And I don't mind. I just don't want to sleep with you all night. Little stuff like that. And I'm, learning through having more of those aha moments through this with you.
Oh, cool.
So
when we're talking, I'm just thinking, we really don't know what love is really my conviction.
Yeah, I think that we really don't know. We learn and we think we have this idea, and every time somebody says the word love, then all of our ideas pop up and we go, oh, I got that one.
Right.
But we really don't. And I think it's a lifetime of learning sort of thing. It's like, for me, I hope that I will never get to the end of knowing all about myself, because then I'll be terribly bored.
So, not to worry. I'm sure you won't.
I'm sure, yeah. So I am, willing to do the work to dig around and go through all the pain and agony of, what's wise and how comes, because I have this need to know about myself. I don't share the need to have everybody know everything about me, but I need to know everything about myself. And it's just that, as you're going on and you're learning about yourself, and when you get to the end of your life, you're not going to know everything. And I think that love is that same thing. There are ideals that we have, and there are goals that we're reaching for in love, and there are moments that we experience that. And for me, it's just usually just enough of a moment to keep me going. But I don't think we ever know it all.
In this this lovability piece, it's a depression, fear of rejection, fear of authentic self-expression. So if I am who I really am, then no one will love and accept me. So it's an expression. So I'm thinking, if I talk around people, then they won't accept me. If you're standing around, why would people have problem with you and receiving and accepting love just as waves of, acceptance, yourself and others? It's a little bit different than standing there and expressing opinions. It is the opinions that people have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
So it even in this case, it's not a lot to do with lovability. It's more about accepting. And this is what I thought about the human design, because I think they tend to be a little bit more accepting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Understanding that how we are victims of our energies and the programming.
Mm-hmm.
So it more, I'm seeing personally the separation, feel lovable, but of course it's more like feeling accepted more than lovable in this kind of a situation. But in a family, it's a different thing. So if you said that there are only two people that really know you,
mm-hmm.
are they then also opening, and they're open to your self-expression, no matter what it is, without judging it.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe we can get a little bit to a juicier part.
Yeah.
It feels right now, not a lot of this lovability and feeling and receiving love. It seems to have like a plug over it. It's not easy to separate. At least it's not falling apart. It's not sort of unraveling yet, from what I'm getting There's not a lot to kind of tap on.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Like a big general, you know, accepting love, feeling love.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a setup here if you'd like to follow up with that, and we'll see what comes up.
Okay.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
Even though I don't feel lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Around the body. Lovability.
Lovability.
What's lovability?
What's lovability?
Under the eyes, identity.
Identity.
Under the nose. Depression.
Depression.
On the chin. Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection.
Collarbone. Fear of authentic self-expression.
Fear of authentic self-expression.
Fear of others.
Fear of others.
Fear of loving myself.
Fear of loving myself. There? Yeah.
Okay, and the top of the head. Fear of loving and accepting myself.
Fear of accepting myself.
Mm. I said fear of loving and accepting myself.
Oh, oh, missed that one.
So, isn't that where we are going?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we are going.
So, yes, that's where we are going. All right. So, what's with that? What's up with that? Why do we have a problem loving ourselves? Here we go on to talk about others.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, apparently, I'm not willing to get over not feeling lovable. Oh, that's a good one. I'm not willing to get over not feeling lovable.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those double negatives, and those are tricky.
Those are tricky, yeah. Yeah.
So what do we have there, Linda? Where do you feel it? My back is definitely not feeling supported.
Yeah.
I bailed out on myself.
Yeah, I feel it in my back, and I also feel it in my sacral.
Yeah. Right.
So, well, this is... I'm going to talk around this for a minute. When I was in high school, I found what I thought was the absolute love of my life. And due to lots and lots of different circumstances, we ended up breaking up. I ended up breaking up with him. That's what it was. He was a couple years older than I, and so I was in school and still a minor 2 years longer than he was. And we went on to, you know, have our separate lives. He got married and had kids and divorced, and I got married and had kids and divorced, and I moved up here, and he's still in California. And every once in a while I'd think about him, but it was no real, you know, it wasn't a move. It was just kind of a massaging memories, as one of my friends says.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great image. And then about 6 months ago, I opened up my Facebook page and there was a friend request and it was him. And so I thought about it for a couple of days because, you know, there's no spontaneity in me, so this is an important thing. So I had to think about it for a couple of days and finally decided to say yes. And we've been kind of dancing around one another, and one of my pet peeves is that I always seem to be the one who initiates everything. And so this time I said, I ain't initiating anything. I mean, I said yes to your friend request. You want more, you talk to me first. So we did that dance. I would put something on my post and he would respond, and then I would respond to that, and then it would be it. And last night he said, you know, happy birthday to me, and we had this really nice conversation and kind of, you know, connecting to see, you know, which one of my classmates that his brother's married, and, you know, how things were still, because he still lives in the same area. And I thought, you know, this is nice. This is a nice friendship. And then somewhere in the back of my mind this morning, it must have been sitting out there all night waiting for me to wake up. I thought, you know, what you're trying to do, Linda, is be friends. Because the last marriage I had, I knew him as a friend long before I knew him as a husband. And it was the best doggone relationship and marriage that I've ever had, even with all of the problems and all of the tiredness and everything. It was the best. And so I thought, you know, if I ever get married again, I'd like to repeat that. Marry my friend. And so to me, that's what I was. That's what I am doing. There's no past tense to it. That's what I am doing, is trying to be friends before anything else, if anything else. And then the little gremlin inside of me said, yeah, but you have a history. He's not a new friend. You know, you all have a history. And he pulled up a lot of it last night. And one of the things that really hit me and bothered me when it was said and bothered me 50 years later, still, apparently, because I'm starting to ruminate over it, was some body stuff that he had said offhandedly, and it was in the age when, you know, women didn't think about anything like that, but it really hit me, and hit me in the wrong place. And so I just stuffed it because, you know, I didn't want to make waves, and I didn't want him to not love me and like me, and, you know, all of that. But it really bothered me. And I don't want to bring it up again to, you know, to him, but it just hit me in that lovability place. Well, I can't be lovable because I don't look like, you know, his sisters, or, you know, the models or whatever. And I'm never going to look that way. And that's true. I'm never going to look that way. Haven't looked that way all this time. I doubt it's going to happen tomorrow.
That's really good. Okay. There's quite a bit of stuff in there. So if I am who I really am, that no one will love and accept me, and the body stuff's coming up again, and it's so deep, right? That's where the love, again, I said, we don't know what love is.
Yeah.
Having these offhanded comments. Okay. And you don't want to bring it up. Like, it's still having an impact.
It's still having an impact, but I feel that I need to know what that impact is before I get into it. And I'm in the back of my mind, I'm hoping that once I work through it, that it won't matter anymore. Because I am positive that he probably does not remember saying a word about it. This was literally 50 years ago.
Okay.
So life has happened to both of us in a lot. But
so let's see how it impacted it.
Okay.
Even though my old friend showed up in my life.
My old friend showed up in my life.
And he made an offhanded comment 50 years ago. That I still today am bothered with. But I don't want to bring it up. But deep inside, I wonder. It's still eating me up.
It
made a big, huge bite into my lovability issue.
It made a big, huge bite into my lovability issue.
It had to do with my body.
It had to do with my body.
He made a comment.
He made a comment.
And it stuck with me.
And it stuck with me.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though when it comes to lovability.
Even though when it comes to lovability.
I am like a sticky board.
I am like a sticky board.
People throw things at it and it sticks.
You throw things at it and it sticks.
And I don't know why, I just carry it on me.
And I don't know why, I just carry it on me anyway.
I'm not able to peel it off and throw it away.
I'm not able to peel it off and throw it away.
They throw something and it sticks and I carry it on.
They throw something, it sticks, and I carry it on.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And even though I suspect that there are people with open throats.
Okay, run it again.
Even though I suspect that there are people with open throats.
And even though I suspect there are people with open throats.
And they don't know what the hell they're saying.
And they don't know what the hell they're saying.
But I listen to it and it sticks.
But I listen to it and it sticks.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
You have a defined throat, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Me too. And I'm more than ever realizing my wonderful husband's open throat.
Oh.
And he says things. And now I go, okay, never mind that. But before, it would stick. And I just wonder, how do you feel now?
That makes, I feel, okay, we just get to the, my head's wanting to talk here.
So. Whatever, yeah, okay.
I actually feel lighter, I feel better. And I realized something when we were through one of these sequences was that he had commented on the last Facebook picture that I had put on there, my profile picture. And there was this long paragraph on that we were chatting on where he was, you know, basically saying that he felt blessed by knowing me and having known me and, you know, friends and family and, you know, on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in there somewhere he said that it was nice knowing that I was still pretty and I had no health issues. So I'm thinking, okay, guys, there's one of my guides back there saying, say this, because this was really going to get her. And it really got me. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, well, I look pretty good and I don't have any big, huge health issues other than Raynaud's, but, you know, I'm not all lit up. I don't have cancer. I don't have lungs problems or anything like that. So I'm good there. But, we're still looking on the outside here. And I want somebody who's going to look on the inside as well.
It would be interesting to know his chart, but doesn't he feel like an open throat?
He does, yes. He very much feels like an open throat.
Oh, man. That's taken... Oh, gee, I cannot remember how much of what you have said. Just, you know, it's like, oh, my God. Yes, they threw it at me, and it stuck. Yeah. And when I realized that a lot of these people have had open throats. I don't think that other people are as, and they're so innocent in it when they say it. It comes out of places, and we just carry it as it's a serious issue and we take it on. At least that's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So where would you like to go with that? So, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Do we need to do, feel like we need to do more there? I've had all these little things you were telling me, and I feel right now that we don't even have to go there.
Yeah, I don't feel any need to.
Right.
Any need to go there. It feels pretty clear, and I'm thinking, okay, open throat. It's like my sister. She opens her mouth, and stuff comes out, and I'm going, who are you? Are you related to me? And then she just walks off, and it's like, come back here. Do you not hear what you just said? And she didn't. Not. She didn't. She just said it, and then she's done. And she goes, well, if I said it, it must be true. Gemini. If I said it, it must be true. So, no, that doesn't work.
Well, it's
yeah, but it's just that open mouth, out comes words, and then, okay, we're done.
Yeah, and they don't really understand that at all.
Yeah.
It's not to say that we don't say things as well, but mm-hmm. as far as our own lovability, looking at it from that point of view,
yeah,
it's more hurtful, I guess, than other discussions because it comes from out nowhere.
Yeah.
You don't even know that it was coming, and then they just stick it on and walk yep. away.
Yep. You're blindsided. I hate getting blindsided.
I usually
am so astounded that I don't know what to do. And then they take that as that I'm listening to them and then accepting what they're saying. And I just haven't got my mouth. My tongue won't move. So I haven't got my mouth open yet. Because I am so astounded at what I just heard.
I know. And then, yeah, the head just keeps on working. Like, well, what does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's carry on. We have this juicy, I'm not willing to get over not feeling lovable.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that sticker, we just carry it around so proudly.
Oh, yeah.
50 years later.
Yes. Even though I'm not willing.
To get over not feeling lovable.
To get over not feeling lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm not willing.
Even though I'm not willing.
To get over not feeling lovable.
To get over not feeling lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Keep going.
Yeah. Even though I'm not willing.
Even though I'm not willing.
To get over not feeling lovable.
To get over not feeling lovable.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Okay. Eyebrows, not willing.
Not willing.
Side of the eyes, not feeling.
Not feeling.
Under the eyes, willing.
Willing.
Under the nose, feeling.
Feeling.
Chin, I'm not willing.
I'm not willing.
Collarbone, to get over not feeling lovable.
To get over not feeling lovable.
Willing.
Willing.
The arms, heart, feeling.
Feeling.
Up of the head. Willing and feeling lovable.
Willing and feeling lovable.
Did that do anything?
I know there's something right on the edge of my mind. It just hasn't crossed over into the introduced itself yet.
It had a different energy to it. That's why I'm sort of feeling it's not penetrating because it's a little kind of like not willing and not feeling. Well, that's actually very good because it is the will. And it is the emotional center, which I think that for us, it's something we've talked about, the emotional wisdom last time. It's very much connected to the will, mm-hmm. not willing,
yeah.
and then to get over not feeling lovable.
Yeah.
It's kind of a very cute connection.
Yeah.
So the will stops it from peeling those sticky labels off, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, there's a payoff. There's a payoff for not being willing, for, you know, holding on to that stuff.
Not forgetting.
Yeah. It's that.
Do we want to tap on that?
Yeah.
Let's do that, because I think that in this case it might reveal something.
Yeah.
Even though.
I'm really stubborn when it comes to forgiving.
And my emotions keep reminding me.
How mistreated I was.
And all the things that people had said to me.
I
have an elephant memory, and I remember.
Have what kind of memory?
An elephant memory.
Elephant, okay. I have an elephant's memory, and I don't forget. I remember it all.
My strong will won't let you off the hook. And because I don't want to forgive you. I'm not going to peel that sticker off. So you cannot see how vulnerable and hurt I am. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Yep, that's it. Even though my stickers protect my vulnerability.
And I protect my feelings. Because if you knew the extent of how hurt I am. You wouldn't love me. You would think there's something wrong with me. And I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And even though my will is protecting my feelings. And that's just how I'm designed. It's really hard for me to be vulnerable. And peel the stickers off and forgive. For all the things that people had said to me. And then about me. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Sadness, eyebrows. Side of the eye, this deep sadness. Under the eyes.
This deep vulnerability.
Anything else? This deep loneliness. On the chin. Rejection. Collarbone.
This feeling of being rejected.
Under the arms, fear of being accepted. Heart. Lack of love. Close to vulnerability on the top of the head. Yeah. That hit pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Seems like something got exposed.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I agree with that. You're clearing my throat here.
And so out of the mouth comes rejection and criticism and anger. Because what's under the label, what's under the sticker? And let's see then. Okay. Let's see what the gate 10 will show us. I think that there might be a little bit there.
Okay.
Okay. on the self-love. So that's almost like, yeah, it feels to me that that might be a good thing to switch to. So the self-love, Kate Tan, that it's the self-expression. I was thinking about expressing it, you know, how hard it is to express vulnerability.
Yeah.
And the sadness because, lovability, courage, decisiveness, and authenticity. And it's a liver. And self-love, empowerment, of course. The theme is self-love and empowerment. It takes our power away. It gets misused if it's used for not forgiving and using the whale and keeping the emotions alive about it. Emotional symptoms are blame, self-loathing, victimhood, overcompensating. And everyone is keeping me from following my path. All these things get in the way.
Uh-huh.
Spiritual symptoms, God scapegoat sent into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So after this round of tapping, do you feel empowered? I'm wondering if you feel empowered in your life.
I'm getting there.
And I'm wondering how you feel about loving yourself now that we've tapped on it. Where are we? What big deep hole are we in? How far do we have to climb now?
I think I'm about halfway up from the bottom of the hole. It's the big deep hole. So number wise, I'd say probably about a 5.
So is loving yourself a struggle?
Yeah. I feel like I have to remember, and I'll catch myself sometimes, which I think is a good thing. I'll catch myself sometimes either saying something or thinking something that, that I might have just automatically said a few years ago and just not even thought about, and realizing that it sounds innocuous on the surface, but underneath is really, I'm jabbing at myself. I'm poking at my wounds with a sharp stick. And and that's certainly not a sign of lovability. However, I give myself credit for catching it. No matter how long it takes, sometimes takes me to catch.
Yeah.
I give myself credit for catching it because that's a new thing. And then, I've done a lot of tapping this last week. Let me tell you, I have done a lot of tapping. So I think it's becoming a little more automatic.
Well,
around
the birthday, that's been, and I think for the emotional, I don't know how it is for you, but it's been a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You really be open to receiving and not making past experiences alive again.
Yeah.
Right? How it was. I think that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it is for me. And of course, if we had other people on who would bring something different to the table, we would have different topic. But in this area, there's quite a bit of, and even though, do you have the 10? Did you say you did have the 10? You do, right?
I have the 10 unconscious Chiron.
Oh, unconscious Chiron even.
Yeah. So that's the only moon. Yep, that's the only one that I have. That's the only 10.
Okay. And I think I have that as a personality issue. So, or part of the design, personality design.
Yeah.
So what we have here, again, what I muscle tested on is the secondary EFT setup is I'm not willing to get over this fear that I cannot love myself. And we have been provided with the primary EFT setup, which I think is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, even though I struggle with loving myself.
Mm-hmm. Even though I struggle with loving myself, yes. I like that.
It's really hard to, for me to even say.
It's really hard to. I know, it's like my throat says, oh no. They'll show her what you do here. Sometimes I think, My guides are really kind of funny, and sometimes I think they're not so funny. They're not being funny right now.
Yeah, and even though I struggle with loving myself. And I cannot figure out what the deal here is. Like, how can you struggle with loving yourself? What a nonsense.
How can you struggle with loving yourself? That's a bunch of malarkey.
What does that mean? Why would I not love myself?
Why in the world would I not love myself?
I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though I struggle with loving myself. I have no idea where that comes from. How can I struggle loving myself? Yeah, it's crazy. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though it's difficult for me to understand how I can struggle.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Okay, great. See ya. Okay. It's my granddaughter telling me she was leaving.
Okay.
Okay.
So even though it's hard for me to understand how can I struggle. With loving myself. I wonder if my head has gotten in the way. And what I think is love. Is really just self-criticism. And I do struggle with self-criticism. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Okay, around the body. eyebrows. If I don't criticize, I won't live. I don't know where that came from. Side of the eye. I love criticizing. Under the eyes. I struggle with not saying anything. Under the nose. My defined throat wants to say things.
My defined throat wants to say things.
Chin, it wants to criticize. Collarbone, and I'm the best target for it. Under the arms. If I don't start criticizing with me, or with myself. The world will end. Heart. Criticizing is the spice of life. Top of the head. It keeps me going. How do you feel about that? I don't know. You could have noticed how it was a lot for me there.
What came up for me, that was really good because I do a lot of criticizing. I do less now, but I used to do a lot of criticizing, and of course, self-criticism is right at the top of the list. But what came up for me was the abandonment. I'm not sure if it was every single solitary day, but it was enough for me to take note at a very tender age. But my mother was a very angry person, and she felt very trapped where she was, and she did not like it. And so for years and years and years, I was absolutely terrified because she would say, almost every day she would say, you better be good because one day when you come home from school, I'm not going to be here. And so for years, I was in college before I stopped doing this. I'd come in the house from school, and I would set my books down, and I would go through the house, and I would say, I'm home. And if I didn't get an answer, then I would go out to the back porch and the backyard, and if I didn't see her, all the way along, I would be panicking. And if I didn't see her by the time I got to the backyard, I would almost be in tears because I just knew she was gone. And then usually then she was either in the garage or on the other side of the house. And you'd be there, but it was just, you know, it just felt that any moment now, I could be totally abandoned, and I felt that my mother, you know, told the truth a lot, and she did. Out of the two parents, she was more truth teller than the other one. And so, if she said she wouldn't be there, then I had no reason to not believe that someday I would do something bad enough to where she'd just say, "Okay, I'm gone."
Yeah,
and go. And I feel that same sense around spirit. You know, if I'm not really good, if I don't do, you know, the mantras right, if I don't do the meditations correctly, and do my prayers just right, then God will say, "Oh well, you know, I'm done with that one. Let's just go on, leave her to wherever it is."
Okay, so let's keep. Let's start tapping on that.
Okay.
Let me see. Again, replace your words and whatever comes up, but there's something that I can quite relate to. Even though
I had a mother
who was very angry.
Who was very angry.
And I was petrified. That one day I'll come home and she won't be there. And if I'm not good, that God will punish me as well for taking these people away. I'm so tired of being emotionally blackmailed. And living in the fear of abandonment. Feels like walking on shells. Around these vulnerable people.
Very sick people. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though my mother wasn't well.
And she put a lot of pressure on me. She tested my emotions. She jived into my vulnerabilities.
She jived right into my vulnerability.
And I felt like walking on the edge. Between life and death. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though it's a struggle sometimes. And it was a struggle with my mother. To be myself. And not be guarding myself. So I don't make the situation even worse. Because the truth is, I had a pretty sick mother. And I did all I could. Not to trigger her off. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Eyebrows. Angry mother. Side of the eye.
Fear of abandonment.
Under the eyes. Walking between life and death.
walking between life and death.
Under the nose. Being in the fear.
Being in the fear.
Chin. Feeling the fear.
Feeling the fear.
Collarbone. Fear of abandonment.
Fear of abandonment.
Under the arms. Fear of being myself.
Fear of being myself.
Heart. Fear of loving myself.
Fear of loving myself.
Top of the head. Fear of accepting myself.
Fear of accepting myself.
So Linda, do you feel that the criticism of others turn this thing around on us? Like I have a memory kind of like that as well, you know, with my mother having a pretty terrible energies.
Mm-hmm.
And as they blame and lash around, they sort of, the world, you know, she wants to die and life's not good. And it was just really such a miserable existence.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to uplift her wasn't easy, but it almost felt like the chunk. There's a part of us that is left out there with them,
mm-hmm.
trying to survive that emotional.
Right.
And having the emotions too, obviously, you know, having the authority as an emotional center and not being understood for our own emotional waves.
Right.
It, I think that the first place one would go to would be to oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly say, you know, to blame myself for my emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying now. Yes, I would say yes. I was raised that there are only two emotions in the house, and one of them was anger. But only adults could get angry. So, you know, children didn't have the right to get angry, and they certainly didn't have the right to get angry at their parents. And so I always felt like I was responsible for my mother's sanity, and that in order to keep her sane, I had to listen to her, because she seemed to be able to discharge the emotion only in speaking. And then speaking to me. And so I would sit for hours sometimes, and she would just talk. You know, lots of times it was, you know, good stuff. I learned lots about my family, both sides of the family. And then when she'd get done, I would know that she was done. And then I could go out and play or do my homework or whatever it was I needed to do. But I couldn't say anything to anybody about what I had heard and what she had said. And I also couldn't have any emotion about it. And so I, you know, everything had to be happy and on an even keel and, you know, at least to the best of our ability. And there was, you know, there was no blaming parents. So there was just me. You know, who's left in this duo here? there's her and me, and if I can't blame her, then I have to blame me. And I, you know, I always felt that I just didn't really have any emotions except anger. You know, like we talked about last week, I'm well aware about the anger.
What was the other emotion? You said you could only have two emotions. One was saying,
oh, we could be happy.
Happy.
The, you know, adults could be angry and then we could all be happy. And so, you know, since kids are supposed to be happy, that was the kids' job, was to be happy, because they didn't have anything to worry about. They didn't have any, you know, they didn't have a job to go to, and they didn't have to pay the rent, and they didn't have to, you know, figure out how to put food in your bellies. They just ate. So all you had to do was be happy and be a kid.
How did your family, were they able to authentically be happy? Like, what does it even mean? Because it seems like there had to be always a reason, either material reason,
mm-hmm.
or they had to be maybe a celebration which involved a lot of drinking. And then mm-hmm. everyone was happy until they hit the wall, and then they became very obnoxious and very mm-hmm. they became even worse. The happy turned back into anger.
Yeah. Celebrations were happy times, so we were all, you know, we were all allowed to be happy and whatever that time. In fact, the birthdays, I think one reason I like birthdays so much is the only day out of the year that you can do no wrong. And so it's your day, and you can do everything from pick the cake and the ice cream and, you know, and to, you know, what kind of a party you were going to have. And what kind of a day you were going to have.
Okay.
And that was when you could say things within reason and couldn't pick any fights. But it was your day. So everybody had their day. And it was the birthday. And then after that, the next day, the day before and the day after, we were still in this box. But that one day, you were free. At least that's the way I felt.
You were off the hook.
Yeah, you're off. It was off the hook, and there's my mother didn't allow drinking in the house. My dad would have gladly brought, you know, his drinking buddies and everything else into it, but my mother put her foot down at that. And so, and my father was a professional gambler, so he, you know, when he wanted to drink, he went outside the house to do that. And he had to stay out. If he got drunk, if he got too drunk to drive or walk home, then he had to stay wherever he was until he got sober, because she wouldn't allow him to come home drunk either.
Sounds great, though. Like, yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
It brings me, I had a sort of something popped into my head about my wedding. I said, no children. And that was such a cruel thing, but I was doing it to protect the kids. They did not need to see their, you know, drunken parents. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it turned into a big family, you know, always does.
Yeah.
Totally not responsible. So this was really kind of cool. All right. I think that this is kind of juicy there. Even though. Only adults could get angry when I was growing up.
Only adults could get angry when I was growing up.
Children couldn't do it.
Children couldn't get angry.
But for some reason, children were exposed to stuff they shouldn't have been exposed to.
But for some reason, children were exposed to stuff they shouldn't have been exposed to.
Like carrying the burden of their parents.
Something about the burden of their parents.
Yeah, like carrying burden of their
parents. Carrying the burden of the parents. The
parents would offload their burdens onto the children.
Parents would offload their burdens onto the children.
And then they would expect for me
and they would expect me to
run outside and play like nothing ever happened.
Run outside and play like nothing ever happened. No. Cool.
And I didn't have anyone to tell these things to.
And I didn't have anyone to tell these things to.
Adult burdens. Stuck on the children.
Stuck on the children.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though it was hard to be carrying around my parents' burdens.
Even though it was hard to be carrying around my parents' burdens.
Hi, you have a little girl there.
Yeah, that's my great-granddaughter.
Hi, what a cutie. Hi, lovey. What a time. Interesting time you've come in to visit us.
Yes.
That's right. Children shouldn't carry adults' burden.
That's right, yes. She's 5 1/2 now.
Hi, what's your name?
Can you tell her what your name is?
Sawyer.
What was that?
Sawyer.
Open your mouth when you talk.
Sawyer?
Sawyer, yeah.
Sawyer, what an interesting name.
Yes.
I thought that I've heard that, but I thought, okay.
Yeah.
To make sure.
Yes, that was her mother's favorite TV show, favorite character and favorite TV show.
In Lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that. It immediately came to me. Oh, my God. Is that some Lost? How fascinating. Oh, my God. Linda, we have some interesting stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Lost?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
What an interesting name.
Yeah.
We are talking here with Grandma.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be going outside playing? No? Are you going to stay in the house? Going to do some coloring? Yeah?
Well, why don't you go in the living room? I hear the TV's still on, so why don't you go into the living room, and I'll be out in a little while. I know you don't want to, but go ahead anyway. Go on.
We'll wrap it up really quickly, I promise. Thank you. Okay.
Go on, Kat. Go on. Go on out to the living room. He's got the TV on. You can get your, finish your hands.
So, yes, okay. So you have your, okay, well, let's finish this up. What a fantastic time for her to come in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. She's very sensitive.
Doesn't that feel, yeah, the children, and then she gets stuck with Sawyer's name. Oh, my God. And Sawyer had a lot of issues.
Sawyer had a lot of issues, yes.
Oh, my God. Yep. Oh, gosh. All right. Let's finish this up. I don't know where we were, but let's do the around the body eyebrows. Wow. Oh, some heavy stuff. Heavy stuff, eyebrows.
Stuff, yes.
Heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff.
Side of the eyes. Stuck on the children.
Stuck on the children.
Under the eyes. This heavy stuff.
This heavy stuff.
Under the nose. Stuck on the children.
Stuck on the children.
Chin. I feel for the children.
I feel for the children.
Collarbone. Fear for the children.
Fear for the children.
Under the arms. Breathing for the children.
Breathing for the children.
Heart. Carrying just enough.
Carrying just enough.
Top of the head. Everyone's carrying just enough of their own burdens.
Everyone's carrying just enough of their own burdens.
Meaning that there's a judgment about what should and should not happen to children and what they should be exposed to and shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, even obviously she can carry that name and do very well with it.
Mm-hmm.
She can turn it into something beautiful.
Yeah.
To remind everyone who had lost, had watched Lost.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Yeah.
And it's a different Sawyer. Let's do the dream seeds.
Okay.
So let's do the first one. Okay. What needs to be released or healed?
What needs to be released or healed?
For me to be completely open.
For me to be completely open.
To giving and receiving love.
To giving and receiving love.
Okay. And the other one, it's an easy one. What needs to be released or healed?
What needs to be released or healed?
For me to deeply and completely.
For me to deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself. Excuse me.
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have a temporal tapping to seal it off for today. I'm sure we could have gone on for a little bit longer, but she, I think, had...
Yes, she's getting... She's not very comfortable by herself.
Yeah. That's good, but, you know, also, there was just so much in that, her showing up at that moment. It was just...
Yeah.
So temporal tapping. I'm a powerful, unique being.
I am a powerful human being.
I am open to giving. And receiving love.
And receiving love.
I know that I am responsible.
I know that I am responsible.
For following my own life path.
For following my own life path.
And I love myself enough.
And I love myself enough.
To do what I need to do.
To do what I need to do.
To stay true to myself.
To stay true to myself.
Mmm.
Mmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll sit with that. Thank you, Linda. And just hang on to